Welcome to week two of Streaks. You can follow along on the Bible app. Yep, this is only week two. You can follow along on the Bible app. And last week we talked about Daniel and his story of first when him and his friends were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, and Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he asked all these like magicians and people who were supposed to be able to interpret dreams. He asked them to interpret this dream without telling them, and none of them could do it. So Daniel said, "I'll do it. Just give me some time." And he went and prayed to God, and God gave him the vision, and he changed Nebuchadnezzar's life at that point in time, right there, because of his faith in God and understanding that we can't have confidence in men, but we have to have confidence in God. And we come into the story now, where it's a few years later. Nebuchadnezzar is kind of back on his like old thing of worship me, worship me, worship me. And before we get into that, I wanted to tell you guys a joke. How many of you guys know Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson? I would assume most of you guys would know. Okay. Well, these two, they go camping, and they're just hanging out. They're collecting leaves, whatever, and it comes nighttime. It's time for them to go to bed, so they lay down. And Sherlock asks Watson, what do you see? And he's like, well, I see the trees, and I see the leaves, and how they're green, and, you know, they get the chlorophyll from photosynthesis, and that comes from the sun, and that's why they're green. And Sherlock's like, all right, cool, what else do you see? And Watson's like, well, I see the moon, and I see the stars, and, like, I'm just thinking about how many billions and millions of light years those stars are, and that they're probably dead, and how big and bright the moon is tonight. It's a full moon. And Sherlock, he goes, okay, all right. What else do you see? And Watson's like, I don't really know what else to tell you. And Sherlock goes, Watson, you're an idiot. Someone stole our tent. They were camping. Someone took their tent. But
what do you see?
But honestly, in a lot of ways, I want you guys to think about that joke. I want you to think about the ending of that. That in a lot of ways, how often do we in here worry about the things that we think fulfill us that don't really fulfill us, and we're missing the big picture on what's really going to fill our hearts. So we get into this story, and I named it Roasted because you'll understand. I also thought about The Office when Michael Scott roasts everyone. He's like, boom, roasted. But let me ask this question. What's the gold standard? Like, when you hear the gold standard, like, some people like to say, oh, that's the gold standard. What do you think that is? Someone answer that me real quick. No, not the golden rule. Yeah, like something you want to achieve. Like, that's the gold standard. Like, I want to be there. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had somewhat of a different idea when it came to a gold standard. So we get into our story in Daniel 3, 1 through 7. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and the rulers of the provinces to attend the dedication of the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of providence assembled for the dedication of the statue that he had set up. So they stood before the statue Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A herald loudly proclaimed, "People of every nation and language, you are commanded when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall face down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, It's either lyre, harp, and every kind of music. People of every nation and language fell down and worshipped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So we see that later on that what Daniel did, Nebuchadnezzar didn't quite really get it and didn't quite really listen. He's already back to wanting people to worship him, wanting people to, no matter where they come from, no matter what they do, no matter what they are, to worship him and worship this statue. And we'll see here in a second that Daniel's not a part of this story. This story is about his friends. And we'll see here that God commands faith. And you see it all through Scripture. You see that God tells us that we need to be faithful, that there's nothing else that we need to do. And that faith in God is so important to him, because if you have that, you have nothing. And he wants everyone to know that. So the story keeps going in Daniel 3, 12 through 18. There are some Jews. It was a counselor of the king. He came up to the king and was like, hey, this is going on. And this is what he said. There are some Jews you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Then in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Now, these three made a really bold move, just like we talked about last week. Like, they just straight up told the king, we don't care who you are. We're not going to worship your gods because we're going to worship our God, because we know he's the one true God. And nothing that you're going to throw at us is going to make us do any differently. Like, they're being thrown into a giant oven, and you'll hear later on that Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad that he's going to turn it up 7 times hotter than it normally is. But the next point is faith can be uncomfortable. I guarantee you those three, they don't want to go in that furnace. They do not want to die. I would assume that's the last thing they want to do. Like, they're probably not very excited. I can't imagine them going, yeah, pour some gasoline on me. I want to be on fire. Like, but they had to do something really bold. And it was something that no one else was doing. Like, can you imagine just walking around there, and as soon as you hear someone, you got to just fall down on the ground and bow. I don't even know, like, where the statue would be. You just fall on the ground and just freak out. But the real question is we think about that, and we think about faith. God asks us to do things that we don't really like to do. We get into some uncomfortable situations, and we have to ask ourselves, am I going to follow him, or am I going to go the opposite way? Because I know they didn't want to go into that furnace, but they knew that was the only way if they were going to stay faithful to God. So how often does God call us to do things that we don't necessarily want to do, but we have to because we have to be obedient to him? Like, sometimes he might ask us to go talk to someone at school. Do we do it or do we not do it? We should. Sometimes we're put in a situation at school or outside of school. Someone invites you to a party. And they're like, oh, it's okay, you don't have to drink, but just come. Do you go or you don't go?
Don't go.
That's the real question. These are rhetorical questions. We got to ask ourselves these things. Because if you think about it, when Satan deceived Eve, what did he say to her? He didn't tell her, hey, worship me. He said, hey, you do you. You do what you want to do. You like that fruit? God's lying to you. He doesn't want you to do what you want to do. He doesn't care about you. That's what Satan was saying. He was saying, you worship yourself. You do what you want to do, and you eat that fruit. And we have to understand what's going on when we get put in these situations. And sometimes our biggest enemy is ourselves. And we have to understand that our faith should be based on love. Now, I'm not scared of very many things. I'm not afraid of heights. I don't really have like a fear like it. Lauren is afraid of holes and pomegranates.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she's afraid of you.
JL does not like styrofoam, wherever she is. She does not like styrofoam. Like, there's people who have weird fears. I don't really have weird fears. I guess maybe I don't like spiders, but I'll just squish them. Put your hands down. No, if you guys need to listen here for the next 10 minutes, because if you don't, this is going to be the most important thing you hear tonight. I promise you. The one thing I do fear is people's eternity. Now, when I say this, I say it with all seriousness. Because when it comes to faith, what comes from faith is our eternity. And it depends on what we have our faith in. See, there's two paths we can walk down. One is in Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share my master's joy. Now, when I'm talking about these paths, I'm talking about the paths of the end of our lives. When we die, and we meet God, what is he going to say to us? Is he going to say, good job, my faithful servant? Or is he going to say this? And this is where it gets really scary. And this is where things scare me. It says in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the only one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. And now that's Jesus talking. And what Jesus is saying here is something very profound, that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much you serve. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter if you tithe. It doesn't matter if you sing to him. That doesn't matter if you don't absolutely love him, because that's the will of the Father. See, we got to ask ourselves, do I love God or do I love myself? Because Paul makes it very clear in Galatians 2:20 that I must die to myself so Christ can live through me. And he says that with all seriousness, that basically Michael McVeigh must die for Christ to live in me. That's what salvation is. That's what accepting God is. There's no room for you to love yourself and love God at the same time. We have to ask ourselves, like it says in Romans 12:2, where we're transformed in the renewing of our mind. Are our lives transformed when we have accepted Christ? Or do we do the opposite when we're not in here? Do the people on the outside see us as transformed believers, that everything we do, Jesus' love is radiating off of us? Do we have that kind of faith to be able to do that, or is it just a joke? Do we come in here just to hang out with our friends? There's nothing wrong with that. But when we leave this room, whichever door you walk out of, and you leave this building, what does your faith look like? Does your faith look like this if you think about the story of Abraham? Abraham was 100 years old when he had his first kid. And then God told him, Abraham, you need to sacrifice and kill your son. So Abraham tied his son Isaac up and he put him on an altar, and he was literally about to slaughter and kill him and sacrifice him with a knife and burn him on an altar. Do we have enough faith like that when I'm talking about things that we're asked to do, that God asks us to do that we don't really want to do? Abraham waited 100 years for his kid. It's pretty old. I don't know how many of you know a 100-year-old man who has a kid. But in the end, God spared him. But God wanted to test his faith. And how many times has God tested your guys' faith and you failed? And this isn't to beat up on you guys, but this is to know the honest truth. This is Jesus saying, like, all that matters is that you love me and the fruits of the Spirit will come out of you. You won't even have to try. I will know that you're my son. But is that the honest truth in our lives? What do we care more about? Selfie mode or looking out to others and looking up to God? Is our whole purpose here to be like Jesus? Because Jesus came down here to serve, not to be served. And to think you're any better than Jesus, the Son of God. Thinking about yourself all the time, you're sadly mistaken. See, and I'm not just, I'm a part of, basically a part of your guys' generation. And we've grown up in this society where selfishness is camouflaged. We've all grown up saying, oh, I'm going to take a picture of myself and I'm going to put it on the internet. Yes. It's true. Or we're going to post things that are just all about us. Like, that's okay to us. And I'm not saying social media is bad. Don't get me wrong. It can be good. But we've grown up into that sense of, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. And that cycles into the church, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter when you come in here what kind of songs we sing. It doesn't matter necessarily what I'm preaching about. It doesn't matter what kind of games we play. All that should matter is when you come here, the only thing on your mind is to worship God and give him the glory. Nothing else. If you're a believer, you're old enough to feed yourself. It says in Hebrews 5 that basically you need to quit drinking from the bottle and drinking the milk, and you need to start eating real food. And I say all this to say this. What's most important to us? The great commandment, just like we talked about on Sunday. The first part of that is love God with all your soul, mind, and heart. And then love others. But if we don't have those two at the foundation of our lives, then we're failing. And how many people do you know that are so confused about what it really means to be a believer? You know, about, I don't know, wild guess, 80% of people in the United States will say they know God. But how many of them really know? How many people really know? Truthfully, how many people have said to themselves, they made the decision that I'm going to die and Christ is going to live in me, and truly mean it, and their lives be changed? How important is that to us? Because if it's not, then you need to have a heart check. Because that's what God calls us to do. We don't need to worry about ourselves because, like you're going to see in the story, God's going to take care of us. Life might not be perfect. We might have to do things that are uncomfortable. We might have to do things we don't like. We might have to go places that we don't want to go. But it's all for God. It doesn't matter. So I want you to think about the things that fulfill you in this world. None of those things mean anything compared to your salvation. Those things don't give you salvation. Those things will never fill you up. The grace of Jesus, the grace of God, and Jesus' sacrifice is all you need. And if that's not enough, then you have some soul searching to do. And you have some talking with God to be had. I want to challenge you guys with this thought. David, man after God's own heart, he says this in Psalm 27. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. Every day when we wake up, we should be wanting to stare at God's beauty. Now, I want you guys to do something every day, let's just say for the next 2 weeks. How about you go outside and take a picture of his creation and see how wonderful he is? And maybe that'll remind you of how much you love him. And see if your life doesn't change, because the reason most of us are so miserable and hate life so much is because we're always thinking about ourselves. And it's okay to be hurting. But how about try this for a change, is looking to others. You come in this room, can you imagine if everyone came into this room and had the same mindset of, I want to bless someone and I want to love on someone because I love God? What do you think this room would look like? What do you think this world would look like? What do you think your schools would look like if that's the mentality you had, is I want to love people like Christ loved me? Think about that. If everyone came in here out of selfie mode and they were looking forward, and all that they worried about ever was worshiping God and loving him, because that's what these three were doing in the story. It says in Daniel 3:24-28, that then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. He said to his advisors, didn't we throw three men bound into the fire? Yes, of course, your majesty, they replied to the king. He exclaimed, look, I see four men not tied walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of the blazing fire and called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and king's advisors gathered around, they saw the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their head was singed, their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted him. They violated the king's commands and risked their lives to serve and worship any god except their own God. See, the story is so cool because that angel that they saw was Jesus. There's times in the Old Testament where angel of the Lord shows up, and that's Jesus. You just don't know it yet. See, even though God asks you to do hard things and he asks you to have faith when it's so hard, when the world's telling you, no, worship this gold thing, worship this gold thing. The statue's right in front of you. Oh, no, do you. Worship yourself. And we fall into that hole. But can we actually be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where it didn't matter what God was put in front of them, that they were going to worship their God? It didn't matter what punishment they were going to get. Do you have faith like that? You know, there's people all around the world that don't live in America that are in hiding, that live in sewers, that live in basements of houses, that all I have to do is read the Bible with a few other people and they're being hunted down and killed for what they believe. That we get so confused with ourselves and we worry about ourselves or we worry about what other people will think of us. And we don't show people the love of Christ in us. So my connection point for the night is our selflessness illuminates our faith. Selflessness is the key to people seeing our faith and people seeing our love for Christ, because the love of Christ, when we're selfless, comes out of us. And that should be the one thing that we care about. We shouldn't worry about ourselves because we have everything that we could ever ask. We have eternity. So let's make this change in this world. Let's make this change in our lives, that today might be the day that you say to yourself, I'm finally going to change. That my life is going to change for Christ. That no matter what the world throws at me, and I know it's going to be hard, but we're going to trust God, we're going to have faith in Him, because our faith, like we talked about last week, will change lives. And our selflessness helps illuminate our faith and our love for Christ. So I want you guys to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to listen to this verse again. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, so I put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." When you see God one day, and we all will, do you want him to say that? When you see him, do you want him to tell you, good job? I love you so much, son or daughter. You did so well and you were so obedient. Sometimes it's really hard to think like that, and it's hard to think about the end, but if the sacrifice of Jesus was not enough for us, then what will be? And does our life show that? Will people see us living in the world, or will they see us loving Jesus with everything we have? Will one day God tell you, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. You've done good in my name." Because that should be the most important thing that we worry about in our life. It shouldn't be worried about our boyfriend or our girlfriend. We shouldn't be worried about what other people think about us. We shouldn't be worried about what I can get out of something. But in everything that we do, we should be wanting to be servants, and we should be wanting to love God with all of our heart. What's it going to take for you to be able to tell yourself, "I must die and Jesus live in me"? I hope that soaks into your heart, because that is exactly what salvation is. That is exactly what believing in Christ is. Because if he doesn't change our heart, then we're denying him. And when we see him, when we die, if we've denied him, he's going to deny us. And I don't want to scare anyone, but I love you guys so much that I don't want you to walk out of this room tonight without not knowing that God is going to tell you, "Good and faithful servant, come here. I love you so much. I don't want him to tell you, get away from me, depart from me, because I did not know you. So I want tonight, if you're bold enough to do this, if you don't know if you would go to heaven tonight if you were to die, you don't know if Jesus would tell you, good job, faithful servant. Well done. I love you. Welcome home. If you don't know that and you think there might be a chance that if you were to see Jesus, he would say, depart from me. I did not know you. And to be real, that place that he sends you to is a place called hell. And I know a lot of people don't talk about it, but it's something that is very real and needs to be talked about. If tonight you're hearing something in your heart that's saying, man, I've never felt a love like this. I've never felt anything like this. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. That's God saying, please, I love you so much. I gave my son for you. All you have to do is to admit that you're not perfect, that you're a sinner, and you have to ask for forgiveness, and you just have to believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you don't know that, if you can't answer that question, if you were to die, you would go to heaven, would you be able to be bold enough to look me in the eyes? It'd only be me and you. It'd only be me, you, and God, no one else. And maybe tonight you were feeling God's presence and you're like, oh, I love you, God, and I just got to change some things. You know what, from this day on, I'm going to think every day how much I love you and that, and every part of me is changed, that in everything I do, someone is going to see that I love you. Now, would you guys be bold enough to raise your hand so me and some of the leaders could pray for you, that you're making this decision today to not let the world take over your life, but not be selfish, but be selfless? You would raise your hand saying, today's the day that I actually changed my life. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. And I pray tonight, Lord, that everything in us, Lord, is all about you. Lord, I pray that this is the day that everything about us is loving you and loving others, Lord. I know it can be hard, Lord, but I pray that you soften our hearts and you change our minds, Lord, to understand that we need to look to others, Lord, because you tell us in Philippians 2, verses 3, we need to not do anything out of selfish ambition, Lord, but to give you joy, Lord, is to serve you and serve others and look at others more significant than ourselves, Lord. And I just pray that we truly believe that, Lord, that when we get out of these walls, we get out of these rooms, we leave this building, Lord, that it doesn't just stay here, that we go out and we change your kingdom, Lord. And I pray that every single person in here, Lord, is a light to others, Lord. Lord, I pray if someone doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, that tonight would be the night that changes. Lord, I pray you give them the courage to talk to me or any of the leaders. Lord, we love you and we praise you for everything that you are and everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.